October 28th, 2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. Please also visit and subscribe to spingolaspeaks.net and woolliesblog.blogspot.com and screamsandyhook.net. During the program, please email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Do not send questions to my regular email, as I will not see them during the program. Please also visit the chat room at spingola.chatango.com. You may view our guest lineup at spingola.com. In addition to the links for each guest, I also have other interesting links relative to the guest and his or her subject. A friend of mine was, as I mentioned last week, a friend of mine was living in Mexico in March and April of 2009, which is at the time of the alleged bird flu, which supposedly started in Perote, Veracruz, where he lived. There were no outbreaks in that city, however. My friend worked in Mexico City and traveled home on the weekends, which was about 3 hours. By Thursday of the week of the supposed outbreak, Mexico City was a ghost town. All government business was stopped officially by Wednesday. His friend, a very good friend, was a bodyguard for a senator from Veracruz. He spoke with him on Friday night at about 10 p.m. and was told that he was still working in Mexico City. His friend told him that the Senate was in a special session. At about midnight that night, Mexico's Senate passed what is the equivalent of America's Patriot Act, giving the PGR, which is the FBI of Mexico, the authority to record calls and emails in Mexico. Essentially, what happened, is that Obama had visited 2 weeks before Mexico had the bird flu. Barack Obama took office in January 2009, so apparently it was one of his first assignments after he took office. So today, just for the first hour, we do have a guest the last 2 hours, but I want to talk about the Kissinger depopulation program, because we often fail to recognize that that is a program that was put into effect right after it was written and is literally still in effect. Now, I'll give you a little background. Ray B. Fosdick, in behalf of John D. Rockefeller Jr., was the founder of the Bureau of Social Hygiene. Rockefeller incorporated this organization in 1913. Now, I always believe and have always said that history is prologue, and it is true. In 1922, Margaret Sanger wrote The Pivot of Civilization with an introduction by eugenicist H.G. Wells. The Rockefeller Foundation enthusiastically supported the concept of eugenics, which encourages the reproductive efforts of those deemed to have good genes while discouraging or stopping procreation by undesirables. But Rockefeller and others were anxious to go even further to mold America's breeding patterns along evolutionary lines. And at this point, I just want to remind everybody or to warn everybody that the advertisements that you see on TV where it says just offering to supply you with your ancestry for a sample of your DNA, don't do it. I do not trust this program. There are several organizations that offer it. Don't do it. It's just not a good idea. Anyway, John D. Rockefeller Jr. passed on the advice of Fosdick, provided financial backing for Margaret Sanger's Planned Parenthood movement. Sanger, a feminist and birth control activist, established the first family planning clinics in New York City. Several U.S. foundations financed eugenic research, including the Carnegie Institution, which founded Harvard-educated Charles Benedict Davenport's eugenic studies at Cold Spring Harbor. In the 1930s, the Rockefeller Foundation gave grants for eugenic research at the Galton Laboratory at the University College in London and to the Cornell Medical School in New York. Davenport was personally involved in the sterilization of 60,000 unfit, quote-unquote, Americans. Advocates for population control and the study of eugenics include Theodore Roosevelt, Charles Wilson, president of Harvard, and Irving Fisher, president of Yale and president of the Eugenics Research Association in the 20s, plus a host of other very public vocal figures. Excuse me, my allergies are giving me a bad time today. President Theodore Roosevelt appointed Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. to the U.S. Supreme Court, and he ruled from 1902 to 1932. Holmes was an advocate for selective breeding and issued the sterilization verdict in the case of Carrie Buck in 1927. He said, and I quote, "It is better for all the world if, instead of waiting to execute degenerate offspring for crime or to let them starve for their imbecility, society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit from continuing their kind. The principle that sustains compulsory vaccination is broad enough to cover cutting fallopian tubes. These three generations of imbeciles are enough." So we already have vaccination involved as early as 1927. Sir Frederick Pollock, a Pilgrim Society member and law professor at Oxford, was the editor of Law Quarterly Review. He was in close communication with Harvard-educated Oliver Wendell Holmes during a 60-year period. Researcher Charles Savoy maintains that members of the Pilgrim Society and the judges sitting on the U.S. Supreme Court were closely connected. Well, that has not changed in the least. In the fall of 1941, Secretary of War Henry Stimson, who was a member of Skull and Bones, contacted Dr. Frank B. Jewett, president of the National Academy of Sciences, to discuss the further development of biological warfare. This was prior to America's entry into World War II, but according to his diary, Secretary Stimson was well aware of imminent events, even the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Shortly afterwards, President Roosevelt authorized Stimson to create a civilian agency to supervise biological warfare under the jurisdiction of the Federal Security Agency. Roosevelt appointed George Merck, owner of Merck Pharmaceutical and close advisor to Roosevelt, as the director of the new War Research Service. Frank Lidget McDougall, an economic advisor to the Australian High Commissioner in London, participated. I know I'm kind of jumping around. I'm just giving you a whole bunch of little facts here, factoids. McDougall participated in the area of public health within the old League of Nations. He made the connection between community health, nutrition, and agricultural development and economic policy. Globalist-minded individuals, during a conference in Hot Springs between October 16th and November 1st, 1945, formulated the United Nations Interim Commission on Food and Agriculture. Officials drafted the Constitution of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. McDougall was the chief architect and promoter of the organization. Now, of course, this is all gearing up for what we are now seeing and have seen since the end of World War II. the Bureau of Human Heredity relocated from London to Copenhagen in 1947, where they moved into a newly constructed building paid for by the Rockefeller Foundation. Rockefeller minions convened the initial International Congress in Human Genetics after World War II in Copenhagen in 1956. And there were several proteges who were members of this Rockefeller's Population Council. And Dr. Kallman, K-A-L-L-M-A-N-N, a director, also organized the American Society of Human Genetics, which directed the Human Genome Project. Later, the Rockefellers relocated the U.S. eugenics movement to their family offices, where they also controlled future population control and abortion advocacy groups. U.S. State Policy Planning Study number 23 in 1948 was headed by George F. Kennan, K-E-N-N-A-N, and they concluded, and I quote, "We have about 50% of the world's wealth, but only 6.3% of its population. In this situation, we cannot fail to be the object of envy and resentment. Our real task is to devise a pattern of relationships which will permit us to maintain this position of disparity without positive detriment to our national security. To do so, we will have to dispense with all sentimentality and daydreaming, and our attention will have to be concentrated everywhere on our immediate national objectives. We need not deceive ourselves that we can afford today the luxury of altruism, and world benefaction. We should cease to talk about vague and unreal objectives such as human rights, the raising of the living standards, and democratization. The day is not far off when we are going to have to deal in straight power concepts. The less we are hampered by idealistic slogans, the better." Unquote. John Foster Dulles, then chair of the Rockefeller Foundation, concluded after observations acquired on a number of tours abroad that there was a need, and I quote, "a need to stop the expansion of the non-white populations," unquote. In 1952, Frederick Osborne, with the American Eugenics Society, assisted John D. Rockefeller III in organizing the Population Council and served as its first administrator. In 1958, Eisenhower selected William H. Draper, a member of Skull and Bones, to head a committee to evaluate appropriate military actions in other countries. Draper suggested that a better focus should be the threat of population explosion and a study on depopulation procedures for poorer non-white countries that pose a national security threat to the United States. Apparently, a burgeoning non-white population might reduce available resources that would be better put to use by white populations. Also, growing populations produce resentful individuals who aggressively oppose elitist policies. In 1965, the Population Action International, originally known as the Population Crises Committee, was founded by Hugh Moore, Lamont DuPont Copeland, and William H. Draper, Jr. Since 2001, in conjunction with the Population Action International and with the encouragement of Congress, the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, distributes information in foreign countries in an effort to initiate family planning and cover other reproductive health programs. Foreign leaders, in order to gain financial assistance must promote birth control and distribute products for that purpose. Isn't that interesting? In order to get help in some sort of a crisis, like the ones that we saw in many parts in Texas, you had to do what was asked of you, or there would be no financial assistance. Now, you said USAID also has the function of indoctrinating students, which they did through a textbook program. They distribute information in foreign countries, as I said, in order to initiate family planning and cover other reproductive health programs. Prior to 1967, Islamic fundamentalism was a relatively small movement. Osama bin Laden, supported by the CIA, headed the Al-Qaeda network. Al-Qaeda, referred to as the database, was part of a CIA operation after the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan on December 24, 1979, part of Columbia professor Zbigniew Brzezinski's plan to destabilize the Soviet Union. Brzezinski, who is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, was the founding director of the Trilateral Commission and a Rockefeller minion with CIA ties as early as 1959, and he was President Carter's national security advisor from 1977 to 1981. By 1984, the CIA supplied textbooks for Afghan students through USAID, which is, as I mentioned or implied, a CIA front group. Dr. Thomas Gutierrez, head of Afghanistan studies at the University of Nebraska, directed the writing of these textbooks, which the university published. Dr. Gutierrez is friends with Zalmar Khalizad, who is also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan and Iraq in 2003. Khalizad, an Afghan-born Muslim, was a former advisor to UNICOL and was an assistant political science professor at Columbia University from 1979 to 1986, where he worked closely with Brzezinski. The academics designed the textbooks to produce a militaristic populace in order to provoke resistance to the Soviets and future enemies. The book's illustrations included tanks, landmines, and missiles, and promoted hatred. The U.S. government supplied these incendiary textbooks between 1984 and 1994 under Presidents Reagan and George H.W. Bush, who was also a member of Skull and Bones. In 1981, Bush directed the destruction of all CIA records regarding him and his company, Zapata, covering 1960 to 1966. And, of course, we know that Bush was the CIA director between, just for a couple of years, 1976 to 1977. Just enough time to destroy a lot of evidence. So, not only, as you said, for disseminating birth control information, but it is also to indoctrinate students. In 1961, backtracking a bit here, John D. Rockefeller III. Okay, we'll pick this up after the break. Be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and we are going to have a guest in the second and third hour. But right now we're talking about Kissinger and his infamous, very infamous NSSM 200. Anyway, in 1961, John D. Rockefeller III presented the second McDougall Lecture to the UN Food and Agriculture Organization. This predated by a decade Rockefeller's population protocols that would become part of Kissinger's NSSM 200. Rockefeller, in his address, said, and I quote, "To my mind, population growth is second only to control of atomic weapons as the paramount problem of the day," unquote. George H.W. Bush of Texas, who served in Congress from January 3, 1967 to January 3, 1971, originated a legislative investigation of world overpopulation. Dr. D.M. MacArthur, Deputy Director of Research and Technology for the Pentagon Department of Defense. Remember that the Department of Defense used to be called the War Department? Now it's the Department of Defense. The Pentagon Department of Defense requested $10 million from the Congressional House Subcommittee on Appropriations to develop a biological weapon through House Bill 15090. On June 9, 1969, the House Republican Research Task Committee, chaired by George H.W. Bush, heard testimony from General William H. Draper of the Population Crisis Committee and Dr. William Moran of the Population Reference Bureau. Draper reported that there were three issues relevant to population control. Number one, he suggested that the census of 1970 in the U.S. and of 1971 in Britain should be worldwide and not limited to two countries. Number two, he recommended the acceleration of contraception. Now, keep in mind, this is 1970, and the Supreme Court okayed or permitted Roe versus Wade in 1973, which is an entirely different story, it's another story altogether. Anyway, number three, he advocated, and I'm talking about Draper, he advocated that the World Health Organization, now get this, should implement their international programs such as inoculations. It's 1970. And there were other organizations, institutions, religions that were encouraging vaccines here in this country at about the same time. What a coincidence! Anyway, leading World Health Organization scientists, as noted in the bulletin of the World Health Organization, had requested that scientists create viruses in order to study their effects on humans. Hey, we're just a bunch of guinea pigs, right? The Department of Defense, now funded with $10 million, intended to conduct studies, get this, on immune system destroying agents for biological warfare. They want to attack, they intended to attack the immune systems, our immune systems. In 1983, Dr. Robert Strecker, an internist and gastroenterologist who was additionally a trained pathologist with a PhD in pharmacology, produced the Strecker Memorandum. Okay, we'll pick this up on the other side. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Now, at the beginning of every program, I mention that people can see the links for each day's program by visiting spingola.com. On the left-hand side of the screen, you can press the button Radio Schedule, then choose the month. Now, today, the links I have just for my hour that I am giving information. The first link is Trump's meeting with Kissinger, which occurred on October 10th, 2017. Kissinger is still around and still a big part of what is going on. The second link is Henry Kissinger imagines a solution to North Korea. The third link, who owns the Zika or Zika virus? Yes, it is owned and it's been out there. It's been available for at least 60 years. So please do visit the schedule page and look at those links. I think they're very important and we'll give you additional information. All righty, Well, first of all, the Department of Defense now had $10 million intended to conduct studies on immune system destroying agents for biological warfare. In 1983, Dr. Robert Strecker STRECKER, an internist and gastroenterologist who was additionally a trained pathologist with a PhD in pharmacology, produced the Strecker Memorandum, wherein he claims that scientists manufactured the AIDS virus. Working in conjunction with his brother, attorney Ted Strecker, they discovered thousands of documents verifying the synthetic origin of AIDS. Strecker maintains that it was virologically impossible for HIV to have emanated from monkeys. The disease was unknown in Africa before 1975. That reminds me of the Philippines, where smallpox was unknown before the U.S. military went in and vaccinated everybody with the smallpox vaccine. Then they had all kinds of outbreaks. But before that, it was virgin society, no smallpox. Okay, so Strecker claims that the World Health Organization, funded by the Department of Defense, initiated testing on the lymphotropic virus, a bovine virus that could also infect humans. In 1977, the World Health Organization instigated a massive campaign in Africa to eradicate smallpox among the urban population. They deliberately inoculated over 100 million Africans with contaminated smallpox vaccine. In 1978, medical practitioners associated with the Centers for Disease Control and the New York Blood Center inoculated over 2,000 white male homosexuals against hepatitis B with contaminated vaccine. Merck, remember Merck? He had a handle in all this. Sharp and Domé funded the hepatitis B vaccine research that Dr. Strecker claimed spread HIV to homosexuals in the United States. These kinds of weapons were apparently a viable concern immediately after 9/11, as John Bolton gave an address at the Biological Weapons Convention on November 19, 2001, in Geneva, Switzerland, stating, "Our concerns about terrorists using biological and chemical weapons." That's pretty ironic, considering the U.S. is the one that's developing them. Anyway, we have trained many foreigners. They have trained many foreigners in the use of biological and chemical weapons at Fort McClellan, Alabama. Kissinger, he's just the biggest piece of garbage. Anyway, Kissinger received the Nobel Peace Prize. Remember, the elites are always giving each other prizes, Emmy Awards, all kind of, they give each other prizes. And the rest of us think, oh gosh, look, this guy, this woman, this person has this prize. He must be special. Well, anyway, Kissinger received the Nobel Peace Prize after he directed the dispersion of tons of Monsanto's toxic Agent Orange in Vietnam. This chemical, containing dioxin, continues to affect Vietnamese citizens, former U.S. military personnel, and their children. And we've done programs on this, with horrendous birth defects and neurological disorders. Conversely, officials recently executed Ali Hassan al-Majid, who dispersed chemicals in Halabja. So one person gets executed and Kissinger gets a prize. How about that? Anyway, Kissinger orchestrated the president setting secret bombing of neutral Cambodia over a four-year period, allegedly to protect Americans in Vietnam. From 1970 onward, Congress had prohibited bombing in Cambodia in every military appropriations bill except for that open-ended purpose. We have to protect U.S. citizens, but apparently not from Agent Orange. According to Time magazine of April 19, 1976, and I quote, "Since the communist victory last year, an estimated 500,000 to 600,000 people, one-tenth of Cambodia's population, have died from political reprisals, disease, or starvation. To escape the bloodbath, at least 25,000 Cambodians have fled across the border into Thailand. They tell tales of military clubbing people to death to save ammunition. They bound others together and used bulldozers to bury them alive, or they suffocated victims by tying plastic bags over their heads." The U.S. installed Lon Nol, L-O-N, capital N-O-L, who collected millions of dollars in U.S. economic aid. See, you just pay the people off, and they'll do whatever you want them to do. U.S. government has all this money, just pay these people off. He declared himself chief of state, prime minister, and supreme commander of the armed forces after he disbanded the assembly in October 1971 in order to declare emergency rule. He then permitted the U.S. to carpet bomb Cambodia. Lon Nol retired to Hawaii. On April 1st, that's April Fool's Day, 1975, with $500,000, compliments of the U.S. taxpayers, Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge, with its killing fields, the essential liquidation of the middle class, famine, the destruction of the economy, and concentration camps followed America's activities in the area. And Kissinger gets a prize. Oh, this is just sickening. Absolutely sickening. From Kissinger's Indochina biowarfare experiment. You have to experiment elsewhere before you can experiment in this country. And we've learned that from other guests. President Richard Nixon commissioned Kissinger to direct the compilation of a National Security Council population policy. I guess he was really good at killing people, so hey, who else would he get to compile this document? He completed the task during President Gerald Ford's administration. Now, Gerald Ford is of course, the person that wasn't actually elected. Their efforts resulted in the National Security Study Memorandum, or NSSM 200, Implications of Worldwide Population Growth for U.S. Security and Overseas Interests, dated December 10, 1974. Government officials formally adopted the report as U.S. policy on November 26, 1975, when President Ford signed Memorandum Number 314. Now get this. It is still in effect because government officials never rescinded it. Each succeeding administration implements the population policies using its own methodology. The government declassified this document on February the 8th, 2007. Population control serves the U.S. strategic, economic, and military interests at the expense of the developing third world or lesser developed countries, LDCs. The plan claims that their population growth is detrimental and a grave threat to U.S. national security in four ways. Number one, large nations may gain political power. Number two, the U.S. and its allies need the strategic materials from those countries. In other words, all the resources. Number three, a high birth rate means more young people who are more likely than older people to challenge global power structures. And number four, population growth in relatively disadvantaged countries jeopardizes U.S. investments. It's all about money. NSSM 200 has special implications for 13 countries: India, Brazil, Egypt, Nigeria, Indonesia, the Philippines, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Mexico, Thailand, Turkey, Ethiopia, and Colombia. NSSM 200 listed Brazil, which at that time had a population of over 100 million, which dominated the continent demographically. By 200, the population projections totaled about 212 million. That kind of population growth was unacceptable to the elite. In 1975, Kissinger traveled with Gerald Ford to Indonesia, where they met with the U.S.-backed and armed dictator Suharto, who oversaw the killing of millions during his 35-year reign. The day after Ford and Kissinger left, Indonesian forces invaded the independent territory of East Timor. The government exterminated one-third of the territory's population during the subsequent 20-year occupation. That's what occupations are for, you know, just to kill people. But this had little impact on continuing American and Western arms shipments to the regime in Jakarta. Recently released documents established that Suharto received a green light for the invasion from U.S. President and Secretary of State. Nixon and Kissinger, along with John Negroponte, a Kissinger aide and the officer in charge of Vietnam on the National Security Council, arranged a chaos-creating government coup in Cambodia in March 1970. Just backtracking a bit, Negroponte would later act as ambassador to Iraq 2004-2005 and as director of national intelligence 2005-2007. On March 26, 2001, the Los Angeles Times reported, and I quote, "While ambassador to Honduras from 1981 to 1985, Negroponte directed the secret arming of Nicaragua's Contra rebels and is accused by human rights groups of overlooking, if not overseeing, a CIA-backed Honduran death squad during his tenure." Unquote. The CIA had unlimited funds to assist the government in its depopulation efforts in concert with Oliver North. And I quote, "He also helped orchestrate a secret deal, later known as Iran-Contra, to send arms through Honduras to help the Contras overthrow the Sandinista government," unquote. Negroponte had charge of the U.S. Embassy in Honduras when Battalion 316 raped, tortured, and slaughtered hundreds of Hondurans labeled as subversives. The Pentagon and the CIA trained, funded, and supported Battalion 316, a Honduran intelligence unit. Battalion 316 also participated in the CIA's covert operations in Nicaragua. Negroponte was Deputy Secretary of State under Condoleezza Rice. On October 2, 1979, Robert S. McNamara, President of the World Bank and former Secretary of Defense during the Vietnam War, in speaking to a group of international bankers, said, and I quote, "We can begin with the most critical problem of all, population growth," concluding that, and I quote, "either the current birth rates must come down more quickly or the death rates must go up. There are, of course, many ways in which the death rates can go up. In a thermonuclear age, we can accomplish it very quickly and decisively," unquote. It is a surprising statement in view of the crypto-eugenic position taken by the American Eugenics Society. A stand with McNamara, evidently a dedicated eugenist, would have certainly been aware of. It can only be assumed that he did not agree with the society's stand and was arrogant enough to ignore it. McNamara and Maurice Strong, a Rockefeller operative and ecological agitator, organized the UN Earth Summit in Stockholm in 1972. The New York Times claimed that Strong was, and I quote, the custodian of the planet, unquote. Strong is indebted to George H.W. Bush, who maneuvered Strong into the position of Secretary General of the 1992 UN Conference on Environment and Development, the Earth Summit, convened in Rio de Janeiro. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
The American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and I probably have more information than I have time. So now we have the Kissinger document. The infamous document. And the population plan was implemented by Brent Scowcroft, who is a longtime Kissinger colleague and vice chairman of Kissinger Associates and national security advisor under Ford from 1974 to 1977, and again under George H.W. Bush from 1989 to 1993. Now, prior to Scowcroft taking office, now, the National Security Advisor is an office. It is a staff position in the executive office of the president. He doesn't have a budget, but he has the ear of the president. And the people who served in this capacity were Henry Kissinger from 1969 to 1975. And then you have Brent Scowcroft comes in right after him. So Kissinger developed this depopulation program. Scowcroft implemented it. In other words, put it into action. And then, guess who followed Scowcroft in 1977? It's a big new Brzezinski. What do you know? And then, of course, we have Scowcroft back under George H.W. Bush, and they actually wrote a book together, which was called, what was that name? A World Transformed. How about that? A World Transformed, and they ought to know, right? So in addition to the National Security Advisor, the secretaries of the Departments of State, Treasury, Defense, and Agriculture are responsible for executing the population plan. Okay, so Scowcroft implemented it, and he had the help, not only of the president, the support of the president, but the Department of State, Treasury, Defense, and Agriculture. And they're responsible for executing the depopulation plan. And each administration uses those agencies and determines its own strategy for depopulating the planet. Scowcroft was President George W. Bush's chairman of the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board from 2001 to 2005. How about that? During the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq. Wow. He also assisted President Barack Obama in selecting his national security team. Scowcroft apparently facilitated Obama's efforts to continue Bush's warfare, the depopulation strategy in the Middle East. Okay, we'll be back. It's the top of the hour, and we have a guest next 2 hours. Be right back.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.